Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
If you would have told me that I would be giving a message to my church, I probably thought that you were crazy. I don't often give messages. There's a weightiness to teaching on the Word of God that I fully believe is a good thing. So I am praying and trusting that the Lord will use this time to glorify His name, and that the Spirit would dispel any type of nervousness that I'm feeling. I used to sneak into this sanctuary back when the contemporary service was brand new and still back in the fellowship hall area. And I would stand in the pulpit and I would sing usually the theme song to the Beauty and the Beast, Tale as Old as Time. And I would just have a ball singing in this space. I've always loved the acoustics in here. So yes, it's great to be back with you. It's great to share a little bit of what the Lord is teaching me. And I think I'll share just a little bit of background about the Navigators and what I do before we jump in. Also want to say hello to anyone online who's watching, and I think a few of my Kenyan friends. I joined staff with the Navigators 3 years ago, going on four. And I am just so thankful for this church who has accepted the call to support me, and then each of you individually who partner with me. I am just so thankful for your partnership, your support, and your belief that the Lord is working and doing things in the lives of college students and around the globe with those who don't know Jesus yet. The Navigators is an international, interdenominational Christian ministry whose motto is to know Christ, make Him known, and help others do the same. And that has been true of us since 1933. And we work to advance the gospel of Jesus and His kingdom into the nations through spiritual generations of laborers living and discipling among the lost. I specifically serve at Texas Tech University, where I have been for the past 3 years, and I'm helping college students take the next step in their faith, whatever that is, whether it is getting to know Jesus as a friend, getting to know Him as the Savior of the world, helping them trust and believe in Him, or even helping those who believe become disciple makers so that they feel confident and equipped to share about them, to share about Him with those that they are around. And over the college summer break, there are various opportunities for our students in ministry, like a short-term overseas trip. But before I share more about that, we're going to revisit 1 Peter. In this passage, I've been struck by the phrase living hope in verse 3 and set your hope in verse 13. It seems as if this living hope that Peter is reminding the exiles of has happened already and is ongoing. As he writes, He, God, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable. And he goes on. The living hope of salvation is secured and set into motion by Jesus and was caused by God in his great mercy. And on the other hand is this command in verse 13 to set your hope, that it says, prepare your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. that though it is secured, it requires an active role in our minds to be prepared for battle, similar to the phrase, gird your loins, and to be sober-minded, so focused and clear-headed. I'd propose that any time that we take to reflect and think on this living hope given to us through Jesus, we are actually actively setting our hope on our salvation, something which should cause us to fall even more in love with God and his mercy toward us. I believe that I had the experience to be among the people in the Navigators Ministry in Eldoret, Kenya, who live in just that way, who set their hope on salvation, but live in the confidence of living hope. The goal for college students going overseas is that they would grow their trust in God, see God's love for the nations, that he is the one who created culture and beauty, and the one who is actively drawing all people and nations to himself through Jesus and the good news of the gospel. Experiences like this, we hope to be transformative in their walk with Jesus. I could share a lot of stories about what we did, and I will share some, but I think the most transformative part of trips like these that I plan to focus a lot of my time on is what God does within the hearts of those who go. That through a trip like this, we would personally love God more deeply, trust him more fully, and love others more passionately. I totally believe that all this is true of the students who were able to go, but I'm just so grateful that all of that feels true for me. When I first made it to Kenya, I had no idea the culture shock that was waiting for me. So much of our ways of life are different. And here, I'm just used to many more creature comforts that were not present. The showers weren't as hot. The mattresses weren't as plush. The transportation were these things called matatus, like an 11 to 15 passenger van, and they're cramming as many people inside as possible. So you're shoulder to shoulder with a lot of people. And I was often awakened by roosters that crow at all hours of the night and the morning, and had my first experience using the public restrooms, traveling from Nairobi to Eldoret by van. We step outside of the van, and we're at this beautiful look off the Rift Valley. We're taking all these pictures, and I said, I'm just going to step to the restroom. And I walk into the restroom, and it's a hole in the ground, and that is not common for my experience. So I was just, you know, immersed in the experience, my body seemed to kind of be rejecting the experience, too, a little bit. I had incredibly swollen ankles. The electricity was different, so I singed off a chunk of my hair that literally came off on the curling iron with me. I had these huge swollen reactions to mosquito bites and more allergies than I really experience here. I initially did not think I could survive. I remember calling my mom one day early in the trip saying, "This is going to be the hardest 5 weeks of my life." And I genuinely meant it at the time, but all of those things I was complaining about and feeling just have no true significance or bearing on my hope. I was temporarily distracted, and my hope was kind of on the back burner because I felt out of my comfort level. I can easily praise and worship Jesus when I'm contently living my American middle class life. I can even point others to praise and worship Jesus. And I have stories and reflections of how he's helped me in the past and how he's brought me through some really hard times. In Kenya, though, it was through my weakness physically and comfort-wise that the Lord was revealing to me an area in which I didn't trust him yet. Allison, when all this is stripped away, do you still put your hope in me? Do you still trust me? He was inviting me to set my hope on him in spite of my discomfort and to focus less on my perceived trials and more on him. 2 Corinthians 10:9 became my prayer and my focus, And I passionately desired my weakness to result in his power working in me and through me. And as I recalled Jesus in hope, I can confidently say that the Lord was patient with me and actually changed my heart. As I leaned into the challenges to the point that I didn't want to leave, I'm ready to go back. Just let me go back. Let me spend time with my friends and the people that I grew to love there. I experienced a joy there that I haven't felt in a long time. And because hope is alive, it is just so healing to set our hope in Jesus in hardship. Peter says in verse 6 of this passage that in the midst of trials, we still have room to rejoice in our living hope. That if all else fails in life, or if grief takes too much away from us, we still have an inheritance waiting for us that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, he says. So my questions to you are, what do you do when you're grieved with trials, small or large? What happens to your hope? Do you invite God in, lament with him, ask him for help? Do you cling to his promises, or do you numb with creature comforts? Do you become bitter or resentful? Do you turn to him or from him? And then do you set your mind on hope eternal or hope of this world? Peter knows what it's like to experience trials. He's the same one who Jesus rebuked in the garden, the same one who denied affiliation with Jesus 3 times. And when he was sharing the gospel, he was arrested multiple times. Yet he is also the same one who trusted Jesus and walked on water, and the same one Jesus entrusted to feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, and follow me. He persevered with the gospel message to Gentiles, encouraging believers throughout his lifetime. He's able to encourage these exiles because he's experienced firsthand similar trials the readers were going through, and knows that joy comes when we set our minds on hope that is not of this world. I see a lot of the qualities Peter is encouraging the exiles to live in my Kenyan friends. Hope seems to trump all, and I think really changes the way that they live and interact with one another. Immediately, I was welcomed and felt like family, an invited sister, loved and cared for. Their joy is evident and supernatural. Their delight in time with one another is apparent, and their zeal to know God and his word is honestly breathtaking. I was really inspired and admired the way that they shared about him with one another and with others that they're in relationship with. There were students taking part in a summer program who 2 weeks before we arrived memorized 60 verses. Part of their summer program takes the topical memory system from the navigators, memorizing the verses to have God's written on their hearts and their minds, ability to recall. And I fully believe that the more time spent with God and in his word just naturally leads to being comforted, encouraged, and hopeful for our eternal inheritance. I think for me and many of us, it can be easy to forget the cost of that inheritance. Without Jesus, we were destined to death. Eternity without our Father and Creator, and for this broken world of sin to be the entirety of our existence, destined to never feel true satisfaction of our souls resting in and being known by God. Yet in his mercy, verse 19 says, he ransomed us, purchased us with the precious blood of Christ from death to life. Our future with him is secure, and it's unchanging because Jesus' death and resurrection is unchanging. This is the living hope we are invited to set our minds on and share with others. During one of our evangelism trips, we were going door to door at a college dorm to share the gospel with them and invite them to a Navigator's Bible study. I sat in a dorm room and listened as the gospel was shared with a woman named Rose. She understood primarily Swahili, and so I just listened to Swahili for a little while, and I just took the time then to pray for her. I just didn't know where she was at spiritually. And so while my friend was sharing, at the end of his conversation, he said that Rose wanted to accept Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And I was thrilled. I don't really have a lot of experiences like that. And I, through my friend, I asked how she grew up spiritually and what she learned about God. She said that she had never heard the story of Jesus before our meeting, and that her parents just said, "Fear God," and that was all that she learned growing up. It was such a sweet and powerful moment to share with Rose and my Kenyan friends. So she's now learning about this Jesus, of which Peter says in verses 8 and 9, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Even in daily conversations in Kenya, there would naturally be time spent praising God, talking about him, sharing about what they are learning, asking good questions, sharing an encouraging verse. My host, Linda, was such a sweet woman that I loved living with. Her joy was exuberant and would often lead to some dancing parties. And I just loved that we would pray at every meal, and that we would pray even sometimes before bed. Except these prayers were not just to bless the food. They were honest conversations, thanking God for the day, celebrating what he is doing and how he's going to help us. I just loved the transparency of it not becoming a mundane thing, that the prayers were honest and genuine. And as we actively put our hope in him, we realize just how much we need him and just how dependent we are upon him. We often walked places in Kenya, giving us time to build relationship with one another. And although there would be many questions that would often lead to laughter and enjoyment of time, multiple times I remember being asked, "What is God teaching you right now?" And hope is even weaved into that question, I think, because my hope is alive. And as I reflect on God, his mercy, Jesus' resurrection, and so on, I become aware of things in my character that the Lord is softening and changing and sanctifying. The Spirit uses the hope in my heart to gently whisper to me when I need to ask forgiveness, when to listen instead of speak, when to share with someone and when to wait, when to get out of my comfort zone, and when to encourage a fellow brother or sister in Christ. One of the Kenyan students named Richie just graduated from high school and spent the summer with the Navigators program there called the Roots Group. It's a foundational study for the summer where they immerse themselves in scripture, Bible study, and evangelism together as a unit. We spent a lot of time with the students in this program, and I'm so thankful to have met him. We went on a hike towards the end of our trip that was pretty challenging and pretty steep, and after we kind of made it up to the top, we were supposed to go down on a steep incline to enjoy a waterfall. And I looked at the steepness of that down, and I said, "Nope, I am not doing that." I think I was just terrified, terrified of falling for sure. And he was such a sweet young man, such a gentleman, and he encouraged me, and he said, "You need to go. You need, just try it. I'll help you." And so reluctantly, I started descending. Started to have a little bit of an anxiety attack and started to cry just a little bit because it was all very overwhelming. But I loved that he held on to these tree roots and said, "Here, grab this one, grab this one." And I think I just love that his joy and his kindness overflowed to help me, to see the need that I had, that he was just so kind. And then additionally, at one point, I took the time to share with him that I saw a lot of leadership potential in him and encourage him in his walk with the Lord. And I just didn't, you just never know the impact that conversations like that have and moments like that have. And towards the end of our trip, he gave me this bracelet, which says Kenya on it, and told me that I was his best friend that he's met. I think our living hope invites us to also just be intentional with the people God puts in our lives. I left this trip spurred on to talk about God's goodness more, as well as to just regularly express my thanks to God for hope. I want to have this living hope transform me so much that my focus and mind is less on any trial, discomfort, or annoyance, but instead giving God the glory that he's working in me, whatever I face, and he's still working on this earth to see people believe and love Jesus. You see, we are a part of his story, not the other way around. He has been revealing a beautiful story throughout all time. Ephesians 1, 9, and 10 says, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. I don't think there's an amount of time that would do justice to praise God for what he's done in me, the team of students that went, and what he's doing in the Elderette ministry. And I realize that you may not have heard all the stories that you maybe wanted to hear, but please, just ask me. I regularly send out newsletters and will be sharing more of the stories to come in future updates. And I love sharing how God has called me to this ministry and inviting you to pray for the students that I work with and the advancement of hope. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for being the creator and giver of hope. Thank you that this world only foreshadows the beauty and perfection of our eternal inheritance. Jesus, thank you for living perfectly for our salvation and being willing to die for our sins. Thank you that you are a friend and a comforter to us when things in this world are hard, marred by sin, and confusing. Holy Spirit, would you remind us of our hope and our discouragement, in our pain and our discomfort? Would you transform us to be hope bringers to those without the hope of eternal life with you? In Jesus' name, amen.